Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I sworn to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Okay, so as Cameron's mentioned, our theme is moving forward. But I want to say it's not actually a theme just for this series. It's actually our theme for the year. Because moving forward is going to take us a lot longer than just 6 or 7 weeks. Our theme for the year, though, is moving forward, but it's talking about moving forward in our relationship with God, moving forward in our relationship with each other, but then also moving forward in our relationship with our wider, broader community. But we're going to spend the next 7 weeks looking at the book of Joshua, but looking at the Israelites, the people of God, because they were a people who knew all about moving forward. And as you read through the book of Joshua, you realise how much there is for us to learn from them. But before we look at it, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this lovely opportunity that you give for us to be together. Lord, it's such a privilege for us to be your children, such a privilege for us to have time in our week to be able to come together to encourage each other, support each other, to learn more, and then to be sent out into our everyday weekly life, hopefully challenged and inspired to be the people of God in our everyday life. Teach us from this passage, Lord. Open our minds, and I pray that you'll speak through me this morning. Amen. Now, it's always good when you look at a new book in the Bible to consider where it fits into the big picture, into the big story that's God's story. And the book of Joshua is the sixth book in the Bible, and it continues the story of the Israelites. Their story began in the book called Exodus, and there we read about God rescuing those people from slavery. The books that follow Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, well, they tell us what life was like for these people after they'd left the slavery in Egypt. It talks about their time in the wilderness as they moved toward this new land called Canaan. In those books, we read about how God was continuously present with his people, how he cared for them, how he fed them, how he led them for 40 years under the leadership of Moses. There's this beautiful picture all the way through of God's presence, of God's protection and his provision of those people. And it's a picture that is unparalleled with any of the other so-called gods that the people living in that region knew. When you get to the start of the book of Joshua, which is where we are today, you find these people, the Israelites, standing on the banks of the Jordan River. They're waiting to enter the land of Canaan. It's a land that was promised to their forefather Abraham back in Genesis 17. And God said to Abraham, "You will be the father of many nations. I will give the whole land of Canaan as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." Verse 1 of chapter 1 tells us that that time had now come. The time had now come for the promises that God made hundreds of years before to be realized. And I would imagine that for an Israelite, there was no more exciting time. Verse 1 says, "After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. And he said, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them.'" The time has come. When I read that, you think, well, why now? Why is now the right time? Why not 40 years ago, when they had directly left Egypt and come to this point? And what's the significance of Moses being dead? To answer those questions, you have to go back to those books of the Bible that I mentioned, to the book of Numbers. And there you read about this previous generation, the group of people who'd been rescued from slavery, standing in the same spot as Joshua and the people are now standing. See, they were also ready to enter into the land. They were ready to go. And we read that Moses sends out 12 men to go and explore the land. He says, "Go north through the Negev into the hill country. See what the land is like and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. See what kind of land they live in. Is it good or bad? Do their towns have walls, or are they unprotected like open camps? Is the soil fertile or poor? Are there many trees? Go and explore the land. Go and see what it looks like, what we're going into, so we can be prepared." All 12 of the spies come back and they say the land is exceedingly good land, flowing with milk and honey. Sounds good. But 10 of those spies add this. They say, "But the inhabitants of the land are strong and their towns well fortified and very large. It's a land that devours its inhabitants and the people there are giants. We should not go up against them. Let's choose a new captain and go back to Egypt." 10 of the spies give this response. But 2 of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, they add something different. They say, "Let's go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. The inhabitants of the land may be big and powerful, but God is on our side, so we don't need to be afraid." 12 men, all seeing the same situation, but 2 of them give a really different response. I remember my father telling me the story of a shoe salesman who went to a remote part of the country to sell shoes. And when he got there, he discovered that all of the people there were barefoot. And so he sent this message back to his office saying, "No prospect for sales here. The people don't wear any shoes." A few years later, another salesman went out to the same area. His message back to the office was, "Incredible potential here. The people don't wear any shoes." Same situation, but 2 very different responses. One's negative and just sees the problems. The other is positive, hopeful, sees the potential for good. 10 of the spies looked at the situation and just said, "It's too dangerous and it's too difficult. We'd be better off going back and being slaves. Let's just choose a new leader. Let's choose a different leader who's not going to ask us to do something that's so hard." But 2 of the spies, even though they agree with them and say, "Yeah, you know what, it is difficult and it is going to be dangerous," But we should still move forward because God is on our side. God is with us and he'll give us what we need to succeed. We are like the salesman and the spies. We get to choose how we'll respond to the situations in front of us. As a church, there'll be times when we're looking at the same situation, but it's up to each of us as individuals how we respond to that. Whether we choose to have an openness and to trust God and believe that he'll provide what we need, or whether we choose to trust ourselves, whether we choose to withdraw to what we think is comfortable and supposedly safe. Now, I don't know what happened to those two salesmen, but that whole generation of Israelites never got to enter the land. They allowed their fear to stop them moving forward. They didn't trust their leaders, and they didn't trust God. They rebelled, and their disobedience, their lack of faith, led to them all dying out in the wilderness. And so now that privilege of moving forward into what God had for them was passed on to the next generation, a generation who would trust God. God said, "None will enter the land except my servant Caleb, who has a different attitude than the others and follows me wholeheartedly, and Joshua, the son of Nun." Caleb and Joshua were the two spies who trusted God. Not even Moses got to enter the land, which I've always thought was very harsh. But Moses disobeyed God. And so God said, as great a leader as you've been, you're not going to enter the land either. There's going to be a new leader who'll take the people forward. And now, it's 40 years later. Moses has died, and that whole generation has also died. And now God says, the time has come for you, Joshua, to lead these people across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving you. I can't imagine what it was like for Joshua to be chosen for this massive task, leading this group of people out into the unknown. But Joshua had been Moses' assistant for 40 years. He'd seen Moses lead. Joshua had led armies into battle and, as we know, been one of the spies. He'd proven himself to be strong and reliable. He was someone who lived in obedience and faith, who, like Moses, knew and sought after God. And so now God says, you, Joshua, you are going to be the one who's going to lead these people into their inheritance and new life. And what's really exciting as I read that is the words and the response of the people. They say to Joshua, we will do whatever you command us and we will go wherever you send us. We will obey you just as we obeyed Moses. And may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your orders and does not obey your words and everything you command will be put to death. So be strong and courageous. It's a pretty big affirmation of his leadership and very different to the generation before. They acknowledge that Joshua is their leader and they promise to follow him where? Into this land that God is giving them. A land that's unknown, but it's a land that God is giving them. And in those words, there's this incredible reminder of God's sovereignty. It's land that God is giving them. You can't give someone something unless it's already yours to give. The land belongs to God. Psalm 24 reminds us, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. Our God is the creator and the sustainer of all that we see. We're going to come back to this theme of land as we go through the book. But them having this land isn't a gift from God so that they can just get in the land and settle down and be comfortable and forget about God. He's moving them into that land so that they can bring the presence of God to the people there. Now, it's not as though God isn't already there, but it's through the lives of his people that the people who are living there are going to see and know God. The land is God's gift to his people. It's an invitation for them to enjoy peace and security and rest. It marks the end of their wandering and their instability. It gives them a new beginning, but it's a new beginning to be the people of God, to put down their roots, to make a new home and reveal God to the people living there. You know, as I read those verses, and as Cameron's already mentioned, I see such a connection between Israel at this point and us. We've had a season of wandering and instability, but that's now over. And now it's time for us as a church to be moving forward into the new season God has for us. As a church, we've, you know, in recent months affirmed leaders to take us into this new season, where under God's leadership, we'll enjoy a time of rest and peace and new opportunities to reveal God to the people around us. We have this opportunity given to us by God to make him known as we come into contact with people, for them to see God in and through us, through our kindness, through our inclusion, our acceptance, our welcome, our justice, our love, our unity and our diversity. Like Israel, the way ahead of us is also new. It's uncharted territory. Things are different now to what they've been in the past. The more I talk with pastors, the more I realise how right across the board times have changed for our churches. People are busier, and people seem to be less interested in being part of church programs. And as a result, churches are getting smaller. Now, I can't tell you exactly what the way looks ahead for us, but I'm encouraged as I read through Joshua to see that he didn't actually have all the answers either. God just gave him each step as he moved along. He had to trust God. He had to be willing to follow the directions that God gave him. He had to wait on God to reveal next steps, but then be willing to walk in them. But you know, moving forward into something new is never easy. Many of you here have moved to a new country, and I'm sure you would be the first to say it's not easy. There is always going to be obstacles that you have to get over, obstacles that you have to get around. And the first one for Israel was this great big river that's sitting in front of them. But even once they got across the river, then they're going to confront these people that they've been told are giants, that live in fortified cities. They're going to have to overcome these obstacles. And to do that, they're going to need to listen and to lean on God. And in verses 6 to 9, God gives these instructions to Joshua. He says, "Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Don't deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you'll be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." What's required of Joshua if he's going to be a good leader and lead the people into success in the new land? Well, the first thing is boldness and courage, because the task ahead of him is hard. And if you notice in that passage, three times in three verses, God says, be strong and courageous. He does that because Joshua's a new leader, and the responsibility that God has given him is huge. You know, I feel daunted at the responsibility of leading this church, let alone thousands and thousands of people into this new land. You know, what happens when God asks him to do something that's really difficult? What happens if what he's asking the people to do isn't a popular decision? What if they rebel like their parents did? If they reject the directions that he gives them like they did under Moses? He's going to need to be strong and courageous. But he's also going to need to study and to know the scriptures. And so that's going to mean continuously reading and reflecting on what God says. Now, that's not just sometimes. That's just not reading the Bible for 10 minutes in the morning. It's making it a habit or a lifestyle of being connected with God, able to discern where to lead and how to do it. Joshua's life and his leadership has to flow out from his relationship with God. And the third thing he needs is perseverance, because it's going to be so easy for him to get discouraged. Remember, Joshua has been here before. He's seen how easily the people give up. He's seen how when they've been faced with unknowns and hard choices, they gave into their fear and chose to go their own way rather than the way God was calling them into. If Israel's going to succeed, they need a leader who won't give in, who won't give in to the temptation to take an easier or more popular path, who knows and reads the scripture and is careful to do what it says, who knows and trusts God, and who loves to remind the people of God's faithfulness and his provision. I can imagine Joshua reminding the people of the time they were in the desert and God brought water out of a rock. The time when they were in the desert and there was no food and God caused manna-like bread to be on the ground. How their clothes didn't wear out. How they could actually see the presence of God with them because he was present. He had a cloud that went before them during the day and a fire at night. I can imagine Joshua, when things got hard, saying, "Yeah, but remember when God did this." And the people are going to need that. They're going to need a leader who, when people raise doubts and express their fears, will confidently say, "It's okay, God's got this. Our God has proven he can be trusted. He's proven he's faithful. He's proven he's able to protect and provide for us. It's okay." Because it's only as Joshua does these things, as he leads the people to do the same, that they are going to be able to realise and enjoy the inheritance that God has for them. That they're going to be able to live freely in this abundant land as one people under God as their king. These first verses in Joshua have a lot to say to us. You know, there's a challenge in there for the leaders that we prayed for earlier, to be walking continuously with God, to be listening to God's voice, to be seeking to discern God's vision and his way forward for us. The challenge for us to be leading with courage and with boldness, inspiring hope and confidence, persevering through the hard times and recalling what God has done for us in the past. But for all of us, the challenge is there to respect and follow those leaders, not blindly, but graciously and confidently. Each of us together walking with God and listening to his spirit within us, because ultimately God is our leader. It's God that we're committed to following. I feel like February is the start of the new year, not January. It's a bit messy, it's hot, lots of people are away, they're still away. But I feel like February is the beginning. And as I walked down to the church this morning, I felt like I had a spring in my step, because there's this sense of this new season that God is inviting us into. Like the Israelites, we're standing on the edge of something new, And I'm the first to put my hand up and say, it's actually a little bit daunting. There's a lot of unknowns. There are going to be obstacles and difficulties ahead of us that we're going to have to overcome. But at the same time, it's exciting. It's an exciting time to be part of this church family. And I want to just say that there's two things that we can be sure of. The first is that the leaders that God has appointed to take us into this season are fully committed to following God's lead and being obedient and faithful to what he asks. The second, and more importantly, is that we don't go alone. God is with us. Just like Joshua and Caleb said, we can move forward because God is with us. And he will lead us and he will provide us with everything that we need to move forward and succeed in achieving his purposes. I am absolutely sure of it. And I'm really excited to be part of it. And I'm excited to be part of it with you. We have a lot that we can learn from the book of Joshua. And I want to be encouraging you to be reading through it. So between now and next week, I want to encourage you to read those first, up to the first four chapters of Joshua. It'll take you about 15 minutes. But it will make a difference when you hear the message next week to know what's happening. Can I also say that there's a number of people in the church that on Friday I email my sermon notes out before the sermon so that they can have a better understanding of what's coming, particularly those for whom English is a second language. So if I'm not already sending them to you and you'd like them, if you give me your email, I can do that. As we come into this next season, it's going to take us all working together under God's leadership. So let's just pray now together. Lord, you have shown us that you are God. You have shown us that you are all-powerful, that nothing is too hard for you. You have protected us, you have provided for our needs, and you have been faithful. And now we would ask, Lord, that you would help us, that you would enable us, that you would fill us with your Spirit so that we, in turn, can be faithful to you. So that we can walk in the steps that you ask us to walk in. So that we can discern the way forward that is going to honour you and honour this community around us that you have planted us in. We ask you to show us, Lord, to not just show leaders, but to show all of us your purposes and how you would be asking us as individuals and a church to move forward into it. And we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.